Hi, I'm Catherine Galligan, and I believe that love is the most important thing, not only in the world, but in the whole universe. I created the Love to You All podcast as a platform to offer the wisdom and inspiration necessary for us to create a world where love is the guiding force. Together, we can release the protective barriers that keep us from giving, receiving, and fully embodying love. Join me and my guests as we explore the many ways to be the love for a world longing for change, peace, and hope. I believe it's my soul's mission to inspire the courage you need to be the most loving frequency you came here to be in this lifetime. I'm so glad you're here because we have got a world to change. Hello, and welcome to my podcast, Love to You All. I'm Catherine Galligan, and happy Valentine's Day. We're hoping that this is released around Valentine's Day. It might not be when you're listening to it, but that was the intention. Valentine's Day is a big deal in my world. I love it. It's my favorite holiday of the year. I mean, if we could call it a holiday, but it's a day that I look forward to. And I just have always loved it, even since I was a kid. Because for me, what I've noticed about Valentine's Day is it's the one day that everybody will say, I love you, or they'll give some type of message of love or some gesture, you know, whether it's a box of chocolate or a card, or they'll wear red or, you know, something. Like, we're all kind of aware that it's Valentine's Day and that it's a special day. And so it's like this one day collectively where we're all just a little bit more able to drop the barriers, be a little vulnerable, and say I love you to somebody who needs to hear it. And so it warms my heart. And I worked very hard so that this podcast would debut on Valentine's Day. That was my whole intention because for me, love is the most important thing. Love is the only thing that's real. You know, when we die and we leave this world and we pass on to the next realm, all we're going to know and feel is love. And so what I really want is for all of us to know and feel it to our core every waking day of our lives. And it's easy to forget. It's easy to forget. And you know, can get a little down in the dumps. But when you know that you're loved and you feel true and real love from somebody and for somebody, you know, it's a game changer for your whole life and just how any given day will go for you. So I'm a huge proponent of making sure that we all are, you know, being this emotion and being this frequency of love as much as possible. So Valentine's Day seems to be one of those days where we're all kind of a little bit more capable of doing it. And so I've created, you know, a special little recording for you just in case you needed to hear this today. So I'm going to read a storybook that I discovered when my boys were little. Okay. It's called Somebody Loves You, Mr. Hatch. I mean, I must have read this 10 years ago. It was written in the early 1990s or published anyway. It's a story by Eileen Spinelli. And it's so precious and heartwarming. And it's one of the best books I've read that expresses or kind of nails it about what happens when someone feels love and knows that they're loved. Okay. So I'm going to read this book. This is actually age appropriate for children 5 to 8 years old, but I don't think the message is lost for adults. Yeah. So if you want to show this to your kids or play this for your kids, you know, this would be a good one. Okay. Somebody Loves You, Mr. Hatch. Mr. Hatch was tall and thin, and he did not smile. Every morning at 6:30 sharp, he would leave his brick house and walk 8 blocks to the shoelace factory where he worked. At lunchtime, he would sit alone in a corner, eat his cheese and mustard sandwich, and drink a cup of coffee. Sometimes he brought a prune for dessert. After work, he would make 2 stops, at the newsstand to get a paper, and at the grocery store to buy a fresh turkey wing for his supper. After supper, he read the paper, took a shower, and went to bed early. He keeps to himself. That's what everyone said about Mr. Hatch. One Saturday, when Mr. Hatch stepped onto the porch with his dustpan and broom, he got a surprise, a package wrapped in brown paper. He had never spoken to the postman before. "Thank you, Mr. Goober," he said. Mr. Goober smiled. "You're welcome. I always enjoy delivering packages." Mr. Hatch tore the brown paper off. Inside was a white box, which he opened to find another box. This one was heart-shaped, all satiny red with a pink bow on top. It was filled with candy. Something fluttered to the porch floor. It was a little white card. He picked it up. It said, "Somebody loves you." Only then did he remember that this was Valentine's Day. Mr. Hatch wandered and wondered. Now who would send this to me? He was all alone, he had no friends, and yet someone had sent him a Valentine. Who? He put the box on the coffee table and tried to do some dusting. But every time he left the room, he had to keep peeking to see if the box was still there. He dusted and dusted, and the dust cloth seemed to whisper, "Somebody loves you. Somebody loves you." At last, he flung the dust cloth away and exclaimed, "Why, I've got a secret admirer." And then he did something he had never done before. He laughed. He laughed and danced and clapped his hands. And then he took a piece of the candy from the box and ate it. Mr. Hatch changed his shirt and he found some old aftershave in the bottom drawer. He splashed it on his face. He picked out a yellow tie with blue polka dots and put it on. And then he went for a walk. Maybe, he thought, I will meet the person who sent me the candy. Of course, no one had ever seen Mr. Hatch wearing a tie or smelling of aftershave or smiling, so he got a lot of attention. Mrs. Weed tripped over her dog. Mr. Dunwoody nearly fell off his ladder. And little Tina Finn spilled all the toys out of her wagon. Mr. Hatch waved hello to them all. On Monday, it was back to work. At lunchtime, Mr. Hatch sat in the middle of the cafeteria. He spoke to everyone and passed out chocolates from his heart box. On the way home, as usual, he stopped at the newsstand. Mr. Smith handed him the usual newspaper. "I think I'll have a pack of mints," said Mr. Hatch, not as usual. Mr. Smith was shocked. "Was that you speaking, Mr. Hatch?" "Indeed it was," said Mr. Hatch. "I said I would also like a pack of mints. And if you don't mind my saying so, Mr. Smith, you don't look very well today." Mr. Smith recovered from his shock to reply, "You're right, I don't feel very well. I have a cold. I was supposed to go to the doctor's this afternoon, but the stand has been so busy, I haven't had the time." Mr. Hatch smiled. "Why, I'd be happy to watch the stand for you while you go." Mr. Smith could hardly believe his ears. "You would? Certainly, just show me what to do." And so Mr. Hatch ran the newsstand for an hour. He wondered if any of the women who stopped by to buy a paper or a magazine or a candy bar had sent him the mysterious Valentine. When Mr. Smith returned, Mr. Hatch made his usual stop at the grocery store. "I'm a little tired of turkey wings," he told Mr. Todd. "I think I'll have a nice, fresh slice of ham." Mr. Todd weighed the meat and wrapped it. "You look worried," said Mr. Hatch. "I am," said Mr. Todd. "My little girl's late, and she hasn't come home from school yet, and I can't leave the store to look for her until my wife arrives." "Goodness, why didn't you say so?" said Mr. Hatch. "I'll go look for her." And so he walked to the school and found little Melanie Todd by the swings and brought her home. Thank you," said the grocer. "Anytime," said Mr. Hatch. After supper, Mr. Hatch did not bother to read the newspaper. He decided to bake brownies instead. It would be nice to have brownies to share the next day with the people at the shoelace factory. As he baked, the warm chocolate smell of brownies floated through the neighborhood. Children gathered round Mr. Hatch's house, sniffing the air. "Well, I suppose the factory can wait," said Mr. Hatch as he looked out the window, and he brought out two platefuls. "Now, what are brownies without lemonade?" he said, and he stirred up an ice cold pitcher. When the parents came to gather their children, they had some brownies too. It turned out to be a picnic in Mr. Hatch's backyard. He dusted off an old harmonica and played songs he remembered from his boyhood. Everybody danced. And so the days and weeks went by. When Mr. Hatch wasn't smiling, he was laughing. And when he wasn't laughing, he was helping someone. And he wasn't helping someone, he was having a party in his yard or on his porch. He seemed to have forgotten about finding the person who sent him the Valentine. Then one afternoon, Mr. Goober, the postman, came to his door. His face was very serious. "Come in, Mr. Goober," said Mr. Hatch. "You look upset." "I am upset," he said. "I made a mistake some time ago. My supervisor is very angry with me." "Do you..." "Yes, Mr. Goober, what is it?" "Do you recall the package I delivered to you on Valentine's Day, I think it was?" "Yes, I believe so," said Mr. Hatch, beginning to feel a little uneasy. "I don't suppose you still have it," said Mr. Goober sadly. "As a matter of fact," said Mr. Hatch, "I still have the box, but the candy is gone." "Why do you ask?" The postman took a deep breath. "I'm afraid I delivered it to the wrong address. It was supposed to go to another house." Mr. Hatch recalled tearing off the brown paper. It had never occurred to him to look at the address. He fetched the heart-shaped box and pink bow and gave them to the postman. "I do hope your supervisor won't be too angry with you now." The postman was heading down the sidewalk when Mr. Hatch called from his porch. "Mr. Goober, I forgot something." And he gave the postman the little white card, the one that said, "Somebody loves you." Alone in his living room, Mr. Hatch sighed. "Nobody loved me after all." And then he read the paper, took his shower, and went to bed early. The next morning at 6:30 sharp, Mr. Hatch left his brick house and walked 8 blocks to the shoelace factory. At lunchtime, he sat in the corner by himself, ate his cheese and mustard sandwich, and drank a cup of coffee. After work, he stopped at the newsstand for his paper, but he did not speak to Mr. Smith. And when he ordered his turkey wing from Mr. Todd, he did not smile. Nor did he pat little Melanie Todd on the head, or bake brownies, or have picnics, or parties, or play his old harmonica anymore. Everyone whispered, "What's wrong with Mr. Hatch?" Mr. Goober, the postman, told them. "But we love Mr. Hatch," insisted Mr. and Mrs. Dunwoody. "He gave us flowers for our garden. He helped us mend our back fence." Mrs. Weed nodded. "I love him, too. He saved his bones from my dog, Ruffy." Ruffy barked. She loved Mr. Hatch, too. Mr. Smith told everyone how Mr. Hatch had watched the newsstand so he could visit the doctor. And Mr. Todd told everyone how Mr. Hatch had found his little girl. All the children in the neighborhood remembered Mr. Hatch's wonderful brownies and lemonade and most of all his laughter. "Poor Mr. Hatch," they said. "What can we do?" Then Mr. Goober announced, "I have an idea." On Saturday morning, Mr. Hatch woke to a bright and sunny day. He put on his old overalls and went out to the porch with his dustpan and broom. He couldn't believe his eyes. All over the porch were red and white hearts and pink bows. There were boxes of candy on the chairs and yellow streamers flowing from the ceiling. And sticking up out of his mailbox was a shining silver harmonica. The front yard was filled with people, happy, smiling people, and they were holding up a huge sign with hand-painted letters, and it said, "Everybody loves Mr. Hatch." Mr. Hatch dabbed a tear with his handkerchief. "I do believe," he sniffed, "somebody loves me after all." And then he smiled, and then he laughed, and he hurried down to be with his friends. And that's the end. Oh, I love that story so much. It's so heartwarming. It reminds me of this time. So, way back when I was in elementary school, this was fifth grade. And maybe by this time, like girls are, you know, boys and girls are like, people are starting to develop romantic interests. Like I remember like a couple of people like having a boyfriend or something. And, you know, along comes Valentine's Day. And so, you know, back when you're a kid and you get a paper lunch bag and you like glue hearts and stuff on it, you decorate it for Valentine's Day. Well, at the school where I went, we would set the bags on our desk and then you could walk through the classroom and put different little Valentine cards and candy in people's sets. And I used to love that. Oh, I love that so much. I loved going home and like opening up my bag and like, you know, taking out the cards. And some of them would have like Hershey's Kisses taped to them or like a peppermint or something like that. But I'll never forget, there was this kid in my class and his name was Mike Hinkey. Okay. And he was little, like he was a little guy. But he was fast. Like when we had to run the mile as part of the president's physical fitness test, this is a long time ago. Mike Hinkey could run it like in under 5 minutes. Like that kid was fast. And, you know, but he got picked on. He got picked on a little bit. Well, he put a card in my Valentine's bag that year. And I had no idea that he liked me, like none. And he wrote this nice little note. I wish I could remember. I wish I had saved it, but I have the memory at least in my heart. And it was so sweet. And I remember thinking like, huh. And like after that, I looked at him differently, like, oh, you know, like he likes me. That's what makes me feel so happy and warm inside. And now as an adult, I think about this kid, he must have been so scared. I mean, maybe he put that card in everybody's bag, but I don't think so. For him to be vulnerable like that and like make me a special card that he, you know, had the courage to even put in my bag, right? Like you can make the card and then be like, oh, change my mind. No, he went through with it and it was so heartwarming. I mean, here I am and, you know, it's more than 40 years after that event and it still warms my heart. And this is why I love Valentine's Day so much. And this is why it is so important for us to express love to people, let people know that we love them, you know, say so, give them a card, give them flowers, give them a piece of candy, do something for them. Whatever your love language is, there's some way that you like to give it. And then, you know, there's also some way that you like to receive it. But I know that, you know, I mean, I think a lot about like where I am in my phase of life and what I'm up to. And right now, like my career is kind of important to me and I'm putting a lot of focus and energy there. But I can say this with total certainty. When I'm on my deathbed, what's going to matter to me most is how much I loved and how much I let love in. And that's all I want us to do. And so, you know, there's space for both. There's space for both in my life. And I know that the most important thing is love. It's the only thing that's real. It's for me, it's the only game in town. And so, you know, I have little projects that I've got going on. I have things I want to accomplish before, you know, I leave this earth. But I know that in the meantime, I'm going to love as hard as I possibly can. So I hope that you do the same. So this concludes this episode of Love to You All. I hope you enjoyed it. If it's appropriate, please share it with somebody. And of course, leave a review. And I will see you next time. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Love to You All. If you're enjoying this show, please share it with someone who you know would benefit. That would mean the world to me. And another fantastic way to support the show is by leaving a positive review and a rating. It just takes a minute. It would make a huge difference. I hope this message reaches as many people as possible. I really appreciate your support. And so until next time, so much love to you all.